Today, as we continue in our stewardship series, we are focusing on abundantly more. What does it look like to have abundance in all that we have? And our theme is rooted in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now, to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Now, to him who has the power. Who has the power to do more? God, yes. And through him, we are able to do abundantly more. Now, all of this, how do we get to that point? You have to back up a little bit more in Ephesians and look at verses 14 through 18. I wonder if we have that on the screen this morning. There we go. So when we look at it, we see that there is work that has to be done that we are called to be co-laborers in so that we can experience that abundance beyond all of our imagination. And so our series is rooted in this work. It's not just a series, but how do we experience God's abundance is about being about the work that is described here in Ephesians. And there are four verbs that are lifted up. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with the power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all saints, and what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So there's those four verbs, being strengthened, rooted, grounded, and fulfilled. It's in doing that work that we have those words and we live into those verbs that we are enabled to experience the abundance. So today we focus on being grounded. And we look at this text from 1 Corinthians where Paul is writing this letter to this community of the early church. Now it's important to understand when we read Paul's writing, that little reminder, we're reading someone's mail. So you're saying, does it really fit with me right now? There might be a few pieces that feel a little out of sync, but remember we're reading someone's mail. But more importantly, throughout our text this morning, when it says you, the audience is the church, so it's plural. So anytime you hear the word you, you should hear the word y'all. If Paul was a good Texan, he would be saying, y'all need to understand this. Y'all need to be about this work. Y'all need to build a foundation in this way. And so Paul uses three metaphors. And what does it look like? What is the work of being grounded? Now, as we look at those three, I wonder if you heard as we are reading the scripture. There's church as God's field, church as God's building, church as God's temple. And it's important to understand he's not talking about the institution. He's not necessarily talking about the physical building. He's talking about the church as the community, the people. Remember last week, Pastor Lance was talking about being rooted. And when we come together, we're doing that work and we're interconnected. And we remember that we are about that same work. There is strength in that. And so Paul is talking about us as a community. And so when we say y'all, it's all of us. It's not just this beautiful, glorious building. It's not about an institution or the United Methodist Church. It's about the people and what they are accomplishing as they come together to do that work. Now, when we look at this first metaphor, we're talking about the field. And I think it's important to go back to a lesson that we have reviewed over the last few years of remembering who is God? God is God, we are not. And the important piece of understanding this metaphor is understanding what our role is. Now, some people don't like the phrase, stay in your lane, so that's where I like to use the wording that, remember that God is God and we are not. part of remaining grounded is remember that we're not God. We're called to do the work, but we're not God. There's our work and there's the work that God does. And so throughout this metaphor, we see that they are out there doing the work. A few weeks ago, the pastoral team had the opportunity to go to Kansas City. We heard from Dr. Candace Lewis, who is a dean of Kiemen Theological Seminary. And she did a great job of really talking to us about and using the parable of planting seeds. Back in the Gospel of Matthew, we hear about scattering all of the seeds, and we are to be fruitful in all seasons. As we went through that lesson and listening to her, she was pretty powerful and persuasive in reminding us that our job is to take care of the seeds, to tend to them, to nurture them, to plant them so that they could become fruit-bearing. They would become fruit-bearing trees. However, as she pointed out very, very clearly and very dramatically, our human tendency is to look around and say, where has God scattered trees? We look to God and say, where is the tree already planted? Where is the tree already matured? But that's not what God is doing. He gives us the seeds, and we are to be about the work. We're to be about the work of scattering them, planting them in good, healthy soil, nurturing them, tending to them, and then God is about the work of that tree growing so that it becomes fruit-bearing. And she would tell us again and again, you're to be about scattering the seeds. God doesn't just say, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, here's a mature tree, here's a tree, and here's a tree. God says, here are the seeds, now do the work. Do the work of tending to it so that it can become fruit-bearing. And yet so often, in the busyness of life, after this many years of established religion and faith, we can kind of tend to just look for the trees that are already mature, the trees that have already been planted and tended to by previous faithful generations, and just go and rest under those, to go and simply enjoy the fruit of those mature trees and forget that we are called to do the work. We're called to do the work to continue to not only tend to that tree, but take the seeds that come from it and plant them again, nourish them again, tend to them again so they continue to bear more fruitful trees. Again and again, we are called to be about the work of tending to that seed so that God can be about the work of growing it into a fruitful tree. Dr. Lewis reminded us that often there will be trees that we sit under and we will enjoy the shade that we didn't have about the work. There are often times we're going to plant seeds and we will never get to benefit from the shade of that tree. And yet we're called to continue to do the work again and again. In this metaphor that Paul is using, we often look at it and say, well, surely it was easier then to be planting good, healthy, faithful communities where all was well and everyone was living in harmony, because it's original church. Surely all was well. Here's the thing about the church. They're full of people, full of humans, a perfect group of imperfect people. God gave us hearts and minds. We have reason, and we believe a little bit differently. We think a little differently. And from time to time, we disagree. We disagree on, should we worship this way or this way? Should we believe this is what the Bible is telling us or this? And we can find ourselves being divided. We can find ourselves in factions and in small groups. And what we hear in Paul's metaphor is that the people in the early church had already started sifting themselves out and saying, oh, well, we're on Paul's team. Well, we're on Apollo's team. Well, we're on this team. Paul says, you shouldn't be about whose team you're on. God has called us all to be about the work of planting the seed, of caring for it, watering it, nurturing it, we're all called to do that work. And what fruit it bears, because that is the work that God has done. It's not because of what Paul did. It's not because what Apollos did. But God produced that through the work that you all did, the work that you are all called to. So Paul reminds them, we're called to go out there and simply be filled hands. We're simply called to do the work. But just because the tree over here, over in Brantsfield, might grow and produce apples, and this one over here produces oranges, doesn't mean this crop is any better. It doesn't mean that this one is less than, or that that leader is more important or more holier than this one. We are all called to do the work of the church and be about that work together. And so Paul reminds them, we're on the same team, same project, same collaboration of building God's kingdom. So get to doing the work and do it together versus dividing it out where it's not as strong and fruitful. And so then Paul goes into the next metaphor. And he goes from the field to building a foundation, very much of what Miss Courtney was talking about, building on a solid foundation. Now, here's the interesting piece. When we read our scripture verses from our different Bibles, I think if we took a survey of this room, there'd probably be, I don't know, seven different versions. Some of you would have King James. Some would have NIV. Some NRSV, which is we read on the screen. Maybe a Living Translation. There's all different translations. And sometimes when we read different translations, we lose the intent of the original Greek or the original language that that text was written in. Today's text, we see that in this next metaphor. Because what you see in NRSV, it says, for those who choose various building materials. In the original Greek, what he actually says is take care in how you build and how you build your foundation. He doesn't use the word choice. He says take care in how you do it. You see, it's not the original foundation of the three little pigs and the big bad wolf. This one chose straw, this one chose stick, and this one chose brick. The one that stood is the wise. That's not what this is about. What Paul is talking about is integrity and intentionality. Take care in how you're building the foundation of the church. Take care and be intentional and have integrity in how you go about being the church. That's what he was talking about. Not necessarily which supplies, but take care and be faithful in the work that you are doing. Recently, I had the chance to go to Newport, Rhode Island. Maybe you've been there and you've gotten to walk along the cliff walk and see these great big mansions of the Gilded Ages. I said Gilded Ages. Shows the HBO show. But you get to see that great generation in these mansions that they built. One of them was from Cornelius II, built the Breaker's Mansion. Now, the first one he built mainly was out of wood. A fire came through, destroyed it. He rebuilt it, this time to be fortified and to withstand fire and storms. Over a century's worth of storms, hurricanes, drought, everything. He built this huge mansion out of steel and concrete. That foundation has withstood throughout the time all the storms that have come its way. He had that fortified foundation. It's interesting when you walk through this mansion, the strength that they put in there. The other piece I appreciated, and along the lines of what Paul talks about, in appreciating and understanding the community, the strengths of the church, is that in the Breaker's Mansion, each room reflects incredible beauty and the gathering of artifacts from all over the world. There are places where they have architecture and fireplaces from Russia. There are places, different rooms that they have brought artifacts from Austria. All these different things that are brought together to have this incredible, beautiful mansion. And as I walked through room to room, I thought about the way that God calls us together. Some of us bring certain gifts that look shiny and impressive, like you see on that first floor, those incredible leadership tasks. Then there are other smaller, quiet gifts, gifts of hospitality, the gifts of simply having doors open and making coffee and picking up trash that people might not see. But God brings each and every one of our gifts to build this incredible community, this incredible kingdom. And he continues to add and build to it again and again. Later on in this metaphor, Paul talks about, he lists six different materials. Again, it's not the origins of the pigs and the big bad wolf building their house. There are three that are destructible and three that are not, three that can withstand. What he's talking about is building with intentionality and integrity versus holy fluff. Not something that just looks fancy on the outside, that can't withstand the test of time, that can't withstand plagues and storms and droughts and everything else, but building something with integrity, intentionality, that can withstand everything that life throws at it. He says if we're grounded and we're being the church that God has called us to be, we're going to be like those three, we're going to be building on a foundation that is solid, like the three pieces, the three ingredients that he talked about, of steel and brick and mortar. When you look at that, it's about intentionality and integrity. When we reflect on the work that we're doing in the church, are we being intentional about doing the work of being the field hands? Whose seeds are we nourishing? There's a wonderful Sunday school class that is passionate about making sure that children have the faithful stories throughout the year. And they help sponsor those Bibles for third graders that we celebrated last week. There are people who come along and say, it is important for children to be a part of Vacation Bible Camp. So they nourish those seeds. There are others that say, we've got to have this incredible thing where people can come in and experience God's presence. And so we are going to have Stephen's Ministries so that when people are walking through a difficult season, there is someone that they can come and they can listen to and that they know that God is with them in the most difficult season. Those are some of the examples about being intentional in the work that God is calling us to be about. But remember, Paul's letter is written to y'all. So it's all of us. We can't simply say, oh, this person over here has it. I'm just going to sit back under this shade tree and let it happen. We are all called to be a part of that work. We are a part of doing the work and building the solid foundation. Now he steps into the third metaphor. It's really just expanding this middle one to say, you're not building just any foundation. You're building the foundation of God's temple, where people will experience God's grace, God's light, and not the physical temple, but when you gather as God's people, as the community, that is where God resides. When you are gathered and about doing God's work, that is the temple, and that is the foundation in which you are building. It was interesting when we were walking through the mansions, there was another one named Rosecliff. This was all about hosting these parties that they were well known for. But the interesting thing is, this is way back when electricity was just becoming a new thing. And so sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But what was interesting in the Rosecliff Mansion is that there was wallpaper that was created from platinum and gold leaf. Now, at first you might think, well, that's kind of ritzy and just showing off the wealth they had, until you listen to the fact that it was so that when the lights went dim, or if the lights weren't working and it was just a candlelit room, the sunset and the little bit of candle a little bit of candlelight would reflect. It would reflect and make that light be even bigger and more abundant than they could have ever experienced in a different place. It reminds me of what we're called to be about when we're building that foundation, where we're called to resemble God's temple. We are called to reflect God's light so that anybody that is going by us can say, wow, I know God is alive and well in them. They are about God's work. So Paul uses these metaphors that we're to be about the work. And when we see the fruit, and it is incredible and it's glorious and the harvest is wonderful, it's not about the individual leaders. It's about God's work. God produces the harvest. We're simply the field hands. And when we are about doing that work and laying the foundation of the church, we are to do so with intentionality and integrity. And then throughout all of that, reflecting God's presence within us. Paul wraps this up talking about wisdom and foolishness. You might think he's talked about this back and forth, but I think it's an important word for us as we have some important weeks ahead of us. You see, in that season, those who were considered most wise were the ones who could speak eloquently. Those who were smooth talkers, who could just let words flow out, they were the ones considered wise. For Paul, that is not where his wisdom was rooted. His wisdom is rooted in the cross. And it makes us think this morning, as we are going out into the world, as we are reflecting God's light, where is our wisdom rooted? Is it rooted in the things that we hear and we simply parrot back? Is our wisdom rooted in what people have taught us throughout the years? Or is our wisdom rooted in God? Is our wisdom rooted and God's faithfulness? My preaching professor, I think, sums this up best when he reflects back to what Jesus was called to. If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life and those who lose their life for their sake of the gospel will save it. And here's what he says about being rooted in the cross in Paul. Is how God could take the very worst thing that humanity could ever do, Jesus' crucifixion, and turn it into the very best thing God ever did. How God could take the worst thing that we as humanity ever did and turn it into the best thing that God ever did. The danger with the love of our own rhetoric and our smooth talking is that we will use our own skills to downplay the scandal of the cross and our smooth persuasiveness to evade the roughness of God's grace. So often we can just say, yeah, we celebrate Christmas and Easter, and then we go about doing the other work. But Dr. Jeter reminds us the importance of the cross. Reminds us that God took the very most difficult, messiest, worst things that humanity could do and made it into the best thing, as we see on Easter morning, and we live into that. It's interesting that as we wrap this up and we look at what it means to be grounded, Paul calls us to be grounded by being faithful in our work, remembering that God is God and we are not, to be intentional and go about our work with integrity, and to reflect to let the Holy Spirit dwell in us and reflect that as we go out into the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.